Clayton. John Clayton.
Hey, Mom! I'm done with my segment!
This is the Coors Light Cold Hard Facts with John Clayton.
Brought to you by Coors Light. Made to chill.
This hour of Wyman and Bob is brought to you by Mac and Jack's Brewing Company. Time to talk some football with the professor, John Clayton. If you guys have questions for John, you can text those into 710-710, the Vizzy Hard Seltzer text line. We'll try to get to as many of your questions as we can. Hello, John.
Hey, how we doing?
Good. How was your Christmas?
Crazy, but good.
Crazy? Did you get some good stuff?
Not really. No.
All right.
Well, Matt, I was with my wife, so that was good stuff.
Okay.
I was with Pat.
Okay.
Well, John, are you like a big present gift guy? Because I'm really not.
I'm not really either. No.
I don't want presents. I'll give them, but I'm not really that interested in getting like a motorcycle or a BB gun. Or anything like that.
My thing is, I hope that I can give good gifts to my wife every day.
Yeah. Oh, what is? Look at that.
You are such. It's a good thing you're not single.
Oh, he'd be snapped up, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, right. And by the way, that's an odd combo there, Dave, a motorcycle or a BB gun.
Bob, those are the two things that I always wanted as a kid, and I never got. My parents deprived me because they knew I would kill myself.
Yeah, that's hilarious. I could see you on a motorcycle with a BB gun looking for people on unicycles.
Yeah,
that's what I see you doing. That's what I see Dave doing.
Very dangerous.
Yeah. All right, John, let's talk about the big win. NFC West champs, the Seattle Seahawks, with arguably their best defensive performance of the season, in my opinion, considering the opponent, considering what was on the line. It's hard to point to a better performance, isn't it?
No, you're right about that. And now it starts to look like a team that looks like a Super Bowl team. I mean, you know that some things have to work out a little bit better on the offensive side of the ball, but you still have Russell Wilson, so you're good there. But now what you're looking at is a defense that's now starting to play like a Seahawk defense. I mean, 75% of the snaps were cover one, cover three. That's Seahawk defense. They had shut down in the cornerback areas and in the secondary. They had the turnover that was done by Quandre Diggs. Yeah, I mean, you can see they got pressure on the quarterback. I know it worked out for only three sacks in the game, but in the first half, they had 15 pressures on Jared Goff. And, you know, that was the most he's ever had in a half in his career, 15. And it turned him into a running quarterback, and he can't run. And he can't throw on the run. So really, I mean, it changed the whole game how well their defense played. And now all of a sudden, if you look over, what, 7-8 week period, they're giving up less than 16 points a game, less than 4.6 yards per play. And all of a sudden, starting to play like a championship caliber defense. I mean, since they've turned this around, I mean, I think they've been the third best defense in the league and certainly one of the better ones. And they got the sacks.
I think it was really interesting how opposite it was. Like, the key to the Seahawks offense was getting Russell out on the edge and throwing on the run. And the key on defense was making Jared Goff get out on the edge and throw on the run.
Mm-hmm.
It was just, but his thumb, John, that was a pretty big hit he took there. I mean, how do we know anything about that going forward? And for the rest of, you know, they have one game left, obviously, like everybody else. But going into the playoffs, I mean, this is going to be rough without Goff if he's, you know, seriously injured.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think you can see that it doesn't look good. I mean, he went to a doctor today because this thumb was so bad that he is going to need surgery. Now, the question is going to be, when is he going to need surgery? Is it going to be this week, or can he play? And really, you've got a game coming up with the Rams in Arizona, which could be for a playoff elimination for one of these two teams, and neither quarterback may be there. Kyler Murray has a bad lower leg, and he's right now questionable to be able to play. They're optimistic he can, but they don't know for sure. And who knows? I mean, even if Goff can play, you know, with the pressure they can get on him with the blitz, along with the fact that he's going to be throwing with a broken thumb, I mean, this could be pretty bad. I mean, you may have a game coming up Sunday for a playoff spot where you have Chris Stellover going up against John Wolford.
Yeah.
By the way, I just have to say this.
That's Wolford's a who's who.
Wolford's the one from the Rams who went is an undrafted guy eventually from Wake Forest from a couple years ago, and I don't even know where Strieve level was. Now, again, they can probably go back and, you know, get Brett Hundley as a more experienced cornerback to be able to do something, but at this stage, you know, they're sitting there with two backup quarterbacks who haven't played.
Wow.
Hey, John, what can you tell us about what's gone on with Snacks Harrison? This is a weird thing, and he's, you know, he's thanking everybody on mm-hmm. Twitter and thanking the Seahawks, and does he want to retire? Does he want to play somewhere else? And then Josh Gordon, you probably hit it last week, but Pete was asked about it again today. What, What happened?
Well, what happened was that he was inactive. And, of course, I mean, you know, your Snacks Harrison, I mean, you used to be a $9 million defensive tackle and one of the better run-stopping tackles in the league. And so when they picked Brian Monet to be active over him, and obviously they did that with the idea, it's like, okay, if you might have to do something with Monet because, you know, he's just coming off the injury list and you might lose him, and he's the young player who they like very much. So it's just like when you made me inactive, it's like, hey, I came here to play, not to necessarily just sit and be inactive. And so out of his request, they, you know, put him out and let him go on the waiver wire, where you can say, okay, now the next thing is, can he go ahead and get something fixed up with another team? Now the problem is, by doing it on a Monday, you know, he's probably not going to get a chance, even if he goes to a team, to be able to play this week, because it's too late, because he has to, well, they can minimize the fact that on the COVID, they made a little bit of an adjustment there, but you know, he has a chance that he might not be able to even be on the roster for the rest of the regular season unless he goes to a playoff team.
Well, and how sought after are his talents, John, do you think, and just relative to, you know, what's out there on the street, and you know, who is available at that position?
Well, I mean, you know, he was requested by at least two or three teams to go there. I know Tampa Bay wanted him at one point, and I know a couple other teams wanted him too. And so I would have to think he's got some good demand. But now the question is going to be, you know, where is he going to fit in? Because, you know, starting on Monday, I mean, you now have 18 teams that are not looking for anybody because they're out of the playoffs.
And then on Josh Gordon, did you hear anything?
Nah, we haven't heard anything on him.
What's your thought that he tested positive for something again? Or
My guess is he probably missed a test or something like that and put everything behind. So, you know, that obviously did not go well. But, I mean, nobody knows. I mean, this thing has been so secretive that the team's not saying, you know, nobody's saying. And so we just don't know.
It's the weirdest thing ever. Yeah. Again, if you guys have questions for John, don't call him. He's already getting a call. So just text in your questions to 710-710, the Vizzy Hard Seltzer text line. We'll try to get to some of your questions. Before we let John go, hey, what do you make of the Dwayne Haskins story? He's a guy we talked before that game that I didn't think he was very good. I feel like he's a backup-level talent in this league, but attitude-wise, maturity-wise, he's not even that.
Yeah, he loses on every end. That's why they let him go today, even though it's going to cost him a lot of cap room and money because his contract is fully guaranteed. But the problem that he faces right now is that he's got the he comes back and he did pretty decent in the Seahawks game, even though he didn't win. You know, he threw some good yards in the second half, but then he comes back and he has a birthday party for his girlfriend and had strippers there and he didn't have masks, so he gets a $40,000 fine for that, and he shows no responsibility for anything. And yesterday he played horrible, and so after playing horrible, after being on the downside, they said, that's it, we're done with you.
Wow. Honey, I'm going to have a birthday party for you. That's the good news. The bad news is there's going to be strippers there.
It was her idea. You never know.
It's like, it's hard to say on that one. It's like,
we'll leave that one alone before anybody.
They also stripped him of, you know, speaking of that, of his captaincy. They took away that, and I know he's only 23, and maybe he turns things around, but considering all the heat he took for not studying, for not knowing the plays and all of that, and then being benched,
right?
You figure that would jar somebody to say, all right, I got to get my bleep together here. I got to turn this thing around. And that didn't seem to have any impact on him at all. In fact, he kept going down that road.
Yeah, I mean, it's a bad situation. And you just kind of wonder, is he now, I mean, honestly, what you're probably looking at is he's the next Josh Rosen. Now, the only difference is Josh Rosen, we'll see if somebody puts a waiver claim in on him tomorrow. I tend to doubt it. But, remember Josh Rosen was traded by Arizona to Miami for a second-round pick and a couple other swaps of picks and all that stuff. So he ended up there, and now he's he went to the practice squad. Now he's in San Francisco. He'll be able to, you know, come and shake everybody's hand over at the end of the Seahawks game in Phoenix coming up, or Glendale, Arizona, coming up on Sunday. But he's heading down the path of Josh Rosen.
Hey, John, a couple of calls from the game yesterday Bob and I were talking about. The first one was, I thought it was such a ticky-tack penalty for them to call DK Metcalf for not being set. I mean, typically, being on the field, those guys will come and say, hey, I'm going to have to get you next time if you're not set. Just a warning, because it didn't have anything to do with it. And then the other one where the guy runs over and puts the ball down. in the middle of the field. That was a really, I don't think I've ever seen that happen before.
Yeah, but I mean, they said he gave his body up and all that. I don't have as much of a problem with that. I mean, again, you have to be set at the line of scrimmage, or at least when you're ready to take the snap and all that stuff. And DK was a little bit off on that. It became a costly penalty. But, I mean, I think you've seen in several weeks, there's been several costly penalties that can be debated. I know they had one last week on Carlos Dunlap. That one was real questionable, and you know, it's you got to watch the penalties. And you know, we say this at a time when penalties are down to an all-time low level. I mean, for example, I was just charting it on my weekly chart yesterday and today, and I mean, there was one game where there's only three penalties, three total, and there's games where there's eight. I mean, you know, in the 15 games that have been played so far in week 16, there's only been 12 holding calls. Now, I'm not counting special teams holding because that's irrelevant to the offense, but only 12 in 15 games. That's about as good as it can get.
Mm. John, the 310 wants to know, Professor, do you think Bobby, KJ, and Dwayne Brown will be staying in Seattle next year?
I don't see why not. I mean, you know, they don't have a left tackle to replace Dwayne Brown. Bobby, of course, is under contract, so he's not going anywhere. We'll see about KJ. You know, I think the way he's played, you know, he's put himself in a position to definitely come back unless they want to take it over and give it to Cody Barton. You know, I think, you know, what ends up happening at the cornerback position, you know, is going to, you know, help determine that, and at running back too, because I think the two key guys to resign, Shaquille Griffin and also Chris Carson, they have to make a decision on Carlos Dunlap. But the way he's played, I know he's making 11, but I think you can probably get him to take a pay cut, and because he's so valuable to this defense. But you know, when you really think of the big picture right now, I counted up that the Seahawks, you know, with the seven players that ended up going to the Pro Bowl this year, being selected to the Pro Bowl, they now lead the league on the current 53-man roster with 16 players who have been to the Pro Bowl, or at least have been chosen to the Pro Bowl. That includes six on defense. There's five on special teams, and you've got five on offense, and that includes Dwayne Brown, now DK Metcalf getting there. So, I mean, that's pretty impressive. And, you know, the team that you saw yesterday played to that level. That you now look like one of the more talented teams in the league, but when the season started, the defense was so bad, they didn't look like one of the most talented teams in the league.
I assume Dunbar is out of the equation, right? We were talking about, oh, they may have to choose between him and Shaq, and that just hasn't worked out on any level.
No, I mean, end of story on that one, because, I mean, you can see that DJ Reed has now put himself in a position that, you know, it's going to be he and Trey Flowers fighting it out next year because Reed is still under contract, and, you know, he takes that spot that could have gone to Dunbar, but he comes at a much less rate because he's still going to be on his rookie contract.
Rabel and I fight over this, John. You're probably going to be on Rabel's side, but I say put DJ Reed out there for the kickoff returns. Remember he had the kickoff return 50 yards against the Rams the first time, but they haven't returned in punts, but not kickoffs. They got Freddie Swain out there for kickoffs. I want to see DJ Reed bust one.
Yeah, but I mean, he's so important to the defense.
Yeah,
because,
that's what Rabel says.
And so
too.
It's like, and you know, and so we'll have a scotch with Rabel on that one because I agree.
When did he say that? I can't even remember. Somebody said something about
give me a scotch.
He said, "Give me a scotch."
Was that at the end of the game?
At the end of the game, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Anyway. I think he wanted to celebrate.
Yeah, well,
and did he?
Good reason for it.
Yeah, I think so.
I'm sure he waited till he got home. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I would like to see him. But, you know, the special team part of it, John, I mean, yesterday, shoot, he had four punts down inside the 20-yard line. The average starting position for the Rams was their 21, and the Seahawks was the 31, so 10-yard average, you know, per possession there. And, you know, you could make the case that, you know, Dixon and Myers, what does he have, 32 in a row or something right now? They could have gone to the Pro Bowl as well. And all the while, you know, you had Brian Schneider, who had a leave of absence. He came back and coached him. Larry Izzo carried that group there for a while. It's pretty unlikely, you know, considering the coaching switch and everything, and all of a sudden you got all these guys. You get the long snapper. You got Nick Ballor. You could have maybe made the case for Cody Barton. BBK is starting to really come on, getting tackles. I mean, the special teams has really been quietly just a real asset for this
team. No question. And, of course, now you've got five players who have been to the Pro Bowl on special teams on this team. You get the long snapper, the kicker, the punter, you know, Tyler Lockett made it to the Pro Bowl as a return specialist. Ballor makes it as the best special teams player in the NFC this year. And so that's pretty impressive to be able to do that. And you know, you bulk your numbers up, and of course you say, and I know you'll say this, Dave, it's like, well, these are special teams players, and particularly kickers. We really honor them. But you know, you look at one of the formulas that you know, Bill Belichick uses. I mean, he now on this year's team, I think when Stephon Gilmore went down, the only Pro Bowl player he had left that as a position player was Cam Newton, and obviously he's not playing like a Pro Bowler. But you know, he had three guys in coverage units that are on special teams that have been to the Pro Bowl, including Matthew Slater, has been there 9 or 10 times, and his kicker Bailey, he ends up going to the Pro Bowl. So he really believes that it's like you need as many good special teams players as you have. That's three players on special teams that are cover guys that have been to the Pro Bowl.
Dave, what do you think of Clayton's impression of you there? You like that?
It's fair enough. You know, he could have made himself sound a lot dumber. You know, anyway.
Hey, John, what are we to make of the Jets? We were talking about them most likely going 0-16, and here they have won two in a row, and Cleveland, it was such a weird game where they're known for their running game. They had 18 attempts the entire game. Baker Mayfield threw it 53 times.
Well, here's what ended up happening is that, one of the linebackers, B.J. Goodson, he ends up getting a positive test for COVID. Okay, so then one of the other linebackers, he has to be as a high contact. He gets, so they're down two starting linebackers. Then five wide receivers we had high-risk contact, and so their top four wide receivers and a fifth, they end up going on the COVID list. And so now you're down five wide receivers. Your left tackle had been on the COVID list. He came off, but he didn't get cleared till Saturday and had to fly on separate to get to the game, and he wasn't ready because he was still ill, and so that was bad. So you're down your left tackle, five wide receivers, two linebackers, and it was so bad that all the passes at the early part of the game by Baker Mayfield were going to the tight ends because he had nobody else. I mean, he had two practice squad players starting at wide receiver, so it was very much even worse than the situation that Denver had when they were down their four quarterbacks and had to take a Wake Forest former quarterback who was an undrafted wide receiver and make him the quarterback. But they were so vulnerable to any team, even the Jets.
Well, that's why I thought perhaps they'd lean on Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt, because they don't have the receivers, because they were so bereft of talent there, because of what you just talked about. So you're going, okay, it's going to be a big day for their running game, or at least attempt anyway. And man, that didn't seem to stop them. Again, 53 pass attempts and 18 rushing attempts.
How'd you like that 9-second press conference by Baker Mayfield after the game?
I didn't see it.
He basically says, I've got to play better. And they walked out. He's like, I've got to do better, because he had three fumbles in the game.
Wow. Meanwhile, the Jets' draft position continues to drop.
Oh, no, it's done. I mean, the number one pick in the draft is going to be
Jacksonville,
and they got the number two pick. And here's the thing that's going to be so fascinating about this. Sam Darnold is now just looking more like a good game manager than he is anything else. I mean, he hasn't put up more than 20-some points in any game. He hasn't had a 30-point game in the longest time. Okay, so things aren't going well there. And so now, Justin Fields is an option for them at the number two pick from Ohio State, but he didn't have a great season. So he's in question. And then you've got the BYU quarterback, and he's an option too, but he's a hot rising guy. But do you take a quarterback at number two, and what do you do with Sam Darnold? They don't know. So basically, Adam Gase came there with the idea he's going to fix up Sam Darnold. Didn't work. Now it's a matter of coming back, and it's like, oh, so now you have a chance to get the quarterback position fixed with Trevor Lawrence, and he wins two games.
Hmm. Hey, John, your hometown Stillers, that was looking pretty rough for them yesterday, man. They were down 24-7 about, midway, late third quarter.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that would have been the fourth loss. I think Mike Tomlin would have blown his top, but they turned it around.
Yeah, they really did, and so much of it had to be Ben Roethlisberger finally being allowed to throw the ball downfield, because he had been taking those short, quick passes that weren't doing anything for the offense. I mean, you watched that yesterday with Jared Goff, the short, quick passes that weren't going to get you touchdowns, and so then finally, down 17, he just went crazy and started throwing the ball, and they started getting big plays and winning the game.
Hey, Woody, I was reading this story about Mike Shanahan answering questions in terms of who's going to be the quarterback next year.
You mean Kyle Shanahan.
Kyle Shanahan. as to who the quarterback will be next year. And he said, I do believe Jimmy's going to be our quarterback next year, and then asked whether he could say that with 100% certainty. He says, well, you can't say anything with certainty. Mm-hmm. You don't sit here and make promises on anything. I mean, that's not a real strong vote of confidence. What do you expect to happen with Garoppolo?
Say what you want. Kyle's been pretty honest in his answers this year, and I give him credit for that. So I think you can see that they're thinking about the idea of what to do at quarterback, and I think that Jimmy could be on the way out. Like, I was thinking about two places he could go to. He can go back to New England, or he can maybe go to Chicago. And I say Chicago because he's a Chicago native, and even if they bring Mitch Trubisky back in some degree, he's a free agent. He didn't pick up the fifth-year option, but that could be an option. But here's a name to watch: Matthew Stafford. Because if Matthew Stafford is available for like a second or third round pick, I can see them making that move. Mm. And by the way, on as far as the 49ers, how's this game going to be? Because I know the question for Seattle is, okay, you're going to be the number three seed. Sure, there's an outside chance you get number one, outside chance for number two, but you're most likely going to be number three seed. So you're not pressured to play everybody on Sunday. Well, San Francisco's 6-9. Is Jimmy Garoppolo going to play? The answer is no. Is Richard Sherman going to be able to play? The answer is no. Is George Kittle playing? Yes. How about Trent Williams? He has an elbow injury. He's not playing. No Deebo Samuel. Brandon Ayuk has a high ankle sprain. Rasheem Mostert is on the injured reserve list. I don't know who they're going to have left.
Jeez. Well, I would think one guy that you might want to give rest to, and I was worried about him yesterday because Rashad Penny ran into the back of his knee, but Dwayne Brown was kind of limping mm-hmm. around out there. I don't know. I mean, the way you handle it, I guess, is maybe kind of like you've done with Chris Carson or Carlos Dunlap this year. You sort of err on the side of caution as far as giving guys rest, you think?
I think what you do is you scoreboard watch a little bit because, all the games, affecting the NFC top of the playoffs for the top three seeds are all going to go at 4:25. New Orleans is going to play then, Green Bay is going to play then against Chicago, and so you're not going to know the results until the end, but then you'll have a chance to monitor to see, is Green Bay going to play players because they have the best chance to get the number one seed? What about New Orleans? And so all those things are going to be in play because, say what you want, the three teams in the NFC have all clinched their playoff spots. And so, except for the NFC East, but of course, that's just a gift, for whatever seven-win team's going to be able to get that. But I have to think that there's a decent chance now that, if you're Seattle, you have the option of resting players, but you can also keep them out there.
John, good stuff. We'll talk tomorrow.
Okay, sounds good.
All right, there you go. If you missed any of today's cold, hard facts brought to you by Coors Light, made to chill, just download the podcast at 710sports.com. Coming up, Pete Carroll said yesterday was one of the best games ever for the linebacking crew. We'll get Dave's thoughts on why that is. Coming up with Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle.